I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Here we go. It is our number two, GBAT Nation Richardson Bar and Grill. You're looking at 14 flags remaining. We got an official count there at the break. We have G-Bag Flagtober Pint Glasses brought to you by Tolbert Garage Doors. We broadcast live here at the Tavern. Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road. Time for the NFL News of the Day. Tim Cato's coming up at 3:20. Mavs opening night here in DFW. It's electric. They were in the finals last year. Cannot wait to get this thing tipped off. 6:30 this evening. Get home early to watch. Get to the AAC early to watch. Or get here to Richardson Bar and Grill. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, we didn't mention this in the opener, but Deebo Samuel could very well play on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Kyle Shanahan was asked about this. Hey, what do you think about Deebo's status? And it's nothing that's for sure, but he's out of the hospital, and he did say yes, it's very possible that he plays on Sunday. They're going to monitor him throughout the entire week. But it's probably a deal like Micah, right, where it's like, hey, we probably Saturday, you know, if he practices, does anything on Saturday, if he's feeling okay, they'll inject him with a bunch of fluids. I'm expecting, much like Mike McCarthy said, Deebo Samuel's going to play on Sunday night.
I kind of feel like that it's about his lung capacity with the pneumonia, you know. Can he get through the game? You know, is his
ability, energy level.
Yeah. Energy level, breathing and stuff like that. I mean, you always anticipate those guys playing. I don't think Micah Parsons is playing this week. I really, really don't. I know I'm looking at Adam Schefter here to talk about, you know, and Mike saying he's got to practice and all that. I kind of feel like that he's still a little bit a ways right there.
We also have tonight, Thursday Night Football. Now, you guys know me as a Thursday Night Football bet payoff guy.
Yeah.
I got to see if I pick Minnesota yet.
It's been trendy. It's been trendy for you.
So Vikings-Rams.
You're on a Thursday night heater.
I'm on a Thursday night heater. I'm going to bow out of this one.
Are you? You're going to punt now on third down?
Yeah, I don't like this one. Because I don't have a feel for this game. I did last week. This week I don't. I think this could go either way. And the reason why is Cooper Kupp's back for the Rams. And they're very optimistic they're going to get Puka Nacua back tonight as well. This could end up being the healthiest Ram team since week one, taking on the Vikings. Now, it's a homecoming for Kevin O'Connell. He's going back to see Sean McSax and the Rams, where he won a Super Bowl as the offense coordinator, and they're coming off a loss. But I don't know that I have enough confidence in the Vikings to say for sure, with a healthy Kupp and Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams on that Rams offense, that I can pick them to beat the Rams tonight.
Bit of a homecoming for Sam Darnold as well. The USC guy will be quarterback on the road, but in front of his home fans, so that should be fun for him. Hell with it. Well, Chuck, I'll do it.
I'll
take Minnesota.
Give me Minnesota, too. I'll take Minnesota today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vikings?
Yep.
Yeah. Survivor picks?
No, the Link. The Minnesota Lynx.
All right.
Twins.
Perfect. Go Rams. Let's go Rams. I know who I'm rooting for tonight. Let's go Rams.
Wild.
Woo! Matthew Stafford, better than Dak Prescott, going to get the victory tonight. Let's go. Screw both of you.
I'm typing it in right now.
I didn't realize I was going to go to sleep being such a Rams fan today.
I'm rooting hard.
Just ram it.
What's greatest show on turf?
I don't know what the line is.
Bring it back. Bring back the greatest show on turf. I hope Dick Vermeil's in the building. I hope Isaac Bruce.
I hope he gives a teary-eyed halftime speech.
What you got, Brian?
I'm typing you in for Minnesota. We good?
Thank you.
All right. Me and Dawson have both got the Vike Queens tonight.
Easy money.
Couple of idiots going to lose.
2.5-point faves on the road. Book it.
2.5.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
All right. Go Rams.
I tell you what, this might be the new thing to pick these Thursday night games.
You guys following?
So you don't have to worry about the.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. After the Broncos won that Friday, I came in so damn happy. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have to stress about this. This is great. Tonight's a stay away from me, though. I don't know which way this is going
to
go.
It's always tough to pick a team to go on the road on a short week after taking their first loss of the season. Emotionally, how are they going to respond?
Should we just go Rams?
Is Sam Darnold going to start? No, I'm just trying to strike as much fear into these bleep holes as possible.
I am, too. I'm going to stay away from this one. I'm going to reassess tomorrow.
Hey, but go Rams,
Eric's already taken Minnesota.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah, well, we're not talking about that, Brian. We're talking about the Rams.
Well, that's what I was just saying. I was just kind of thinking. I was just looking. I was talking out loud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope.
I love when you do that.
I hope it pays out for you guys, but really, I don't. I hope you both lose tonight. Giants owner John Mara. He is not anticipating making a change at head coach or general manager.
See, this is how you play it.
Until Tish talks him out of it. He did the same thing with Joe Judge.
Okay, so right. I wonder, like, Brian, do you know kind of the balance of power and the hierarchy, how that works?
Sure.
Is it Tish over Mara, or are they
both
equal?
No. They're co.
Okay.
They're co. But what happens is that Joe Judge, like, the Maras are very patient people. They're very patient people. And so all of a sudden you're in a situation where, like, Tish wanted to get rid of Joe Judge. And John Mara wanted to give him the third year. And Tish talked him out of it. Like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, they've been going 2 years, 2 years, 2 years with coaches. Dable's on his third year.
Yeah.
Maybe Mara's like, I actually like this guy, and I'm so sick and tired of the lack of continuity. I'm just going to ride this one out. We need to get a new quarterback. I don't, maybe.
Yeah. I think the coaching staff leaves a lot to be desired here. I mean, we should be more respectable than this with an offensive line. We finally have some weapons. There's some good defensive players. You know, I understand not moving on mid-season. It's just going to create a lot of disruption.
Right.
As long as the players, you know, and the coaches are still getting along, it hasn't turned toxic, we're going to ride this out. But I want the Giants to stand pat. This is awesome. The snake eyes they've been throwing at Coach and GM here for over a decade.
All right, so we've got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is going to start this week, his first career start for the Eagles, as Zach Bond is out. So that's one to monitor coming into this weekend. Let's talk some beer. 877-881-1053. I got a couple of questions for you. When it comes to what is one thing you could get free for life if you signed a contract with said team, I think absolutely beer would be at the top of the list. Alvin Kamara is free beer for life from New Orleans, from a New Orleans brewery after he signed his contract.
Which extension. One? Jack's? Which brewery?
I think it's Avita.
Dixie?
Avita?
Avita.
Avita.
Avita beer.
Yep. It's Avita Brewing Company.
Oh,
it's
there we go. Yeah.
By the way, the egg rolls were Abita, outstanding. Though. They were absolutely delicious. Thank you for bringing those over. So Avita's given him...
The sliders were good, too. I had one.
Didn't dabble in that.
Outstanding.
Oh, my God.
I saw on Twitter he responded. He was like, how do we set this up?
Yeah, he's going to go there and get out.
Avita beer is excellent.
Look, Alvin, just don't punch anybody this time, okay? Drink all the beer you want, but just keep your hands to yourself.
They got a lot of really good flavors, and you can cook with it, and it's
oh really
it, okay yeah
brats, some beer brats.
Well, make chili with it. Really good.
Apparently this place, Richardson Bar and Grill's, got tremendous chili.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield was also voted the number one NFL quarterback to have a beer with. Would that be your vote in the entire NFL? Like, Baker, badass mofo lady T is saying yes. She's in the building in the flesh. Who? Baker?
Yeah,
it seems like Richardson Bar and Grill's going with Baker as the number one quarterback to have a beer with.
Well, because if you sit down with Baker and have a beer, you know you're probably going to get a Zen out of it as well.
That's true.
There you go. Kind of
wow,
a
what a pairing.
Yeah.
That's true. The final four were Rodgers, for whatever reason.
This is a terrible list.
It was
who's number one? Is it Mahomes?
Well, number one was Baker.
Baker.
Mahomes. No, but I'm saying, like, for us, I'm saying, like,
Mahomes
if the list didn't suck.
Or Dak. I mean, it'd be cool to get Dak away from football, away from the mics, just chilling. He's super cool. Everybody likes Dak.
Yeah, I think Dak would be cool. Dak's been dope every time we've gotten to interview him. I think Mahomes would be cool. I think Burrow would be chill.
Burrow would be fun.
Joe Burrow made the final four. Kirko changed, though. Kirk Cousins.
He doesn't drink, does he?
I don't think so. He seems
like a
very holy
man. I don't drink guy.
He'll have some NAs with Dawson.
Golly there you go. Yeah, you could have an NA beer.
And they'll talk about their kids and stuff.
Yeah. Damn right. Well, I got a daughter.
Such a square.
Okay, we talked about Anthony Edwards saying he could tackle Derrick Henry.
Yes, he did.
King Henry has responded to his comments, and here is the response.
I mean, everybody got an imagination. Everybody's imagination always goes in their head the way they wanted to. But, I know. I was talking on Mark's podcast yesterday. I was like, we got to set up a training camp where basketball players come out here and put these pads on and see if they really can get through it. But he's a tall guy, so I mean, at least he ain't gonna tackle me low, so we might have to try that out one day.
If I'm the T-Wolves, I just want this to happen after our season concludes, wherever that might conclude, you know. After our final loss in the playoffs to the Mavs, probably, you can go do this, right? I would like to set it up. I think it'd be amazing, but we need at least a couple of months to recover from injury, maybe as many as six. You know what I'm saying?
What are the chances his shoulder gets wrecked?
Oh, pretty good.
I would say about
– That's what I'm saying. I would worry about that, the tackling. Like, he leads with his shoulder, and then all of a sudden it just blows up on him.
Give him some tackling lessons for a couple of weeks maybe. You know, I think it's a great bit. You know, Anthony Edwards, public persona is just like, I'm super confident with everything. You know, I'm going to take over everything. And I love it, you know. It's a great persona to adopt. It's fun.
Yeah, you know, off-season, this could be a fun one to get in on. Now, do you want me to save the Uncrustables, Chief, for the finest?
Oh, no, you dig in there.
I saw that on the show sheet. It made my heart stop because Uncrustables are huge at the house.
Oh, hopefully, my gosh. Okay, so
these aren't getting, recalled or anything, are they?
No, they're not only huge in the Dawson family, but we talked about this before. They are the snack of choice in the National Football.
It's football's number one sandwich.
Oh my
God! In football, they're elevated even more.
This is a premium.
Like, if they're like a 300 calorie thing normally, they're like 800 calories in the NFL.
They got the jumbo ones.
They've got the bigger ones. Yeah.
Okay. The Athletic has an entire article on Uncrustables in the NFL out. It's amazing if you want to read it. Based on the information collected, it's safe to assume that NFL teams go through anywhere from 3,600 to 4,300 Uncrustables a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Denver Broncos are leading the way with 700 Uncrustables consumed per week. The Cowboys...
That's their coach eating 400 of them.
That's legal ganja is what that is.
Yes, the Cowboys are on the lower end of this.
Keep them in the car.
Legal 75 Uncrustables eaten a week. But holy crap, this is like the snack of choice. They do a history and a deep dive on how the Uncrustable
was created. You get some protein, you get some sugar. Boom, rocking.
I'm just telling you, these guys wake up, they run into practice, they might be late, they don't get anything to eat.
Yeah. Yes.
They're on the way to the meeting. What they pound two of those things and get to the meeting.
Well, and they were quoting NFL players in here that it's, hey, they can just put them in their bag.
There
you
go.
If they get squished, like, I can still eat it.
You can still eat it.
It's fine.
We've got to ask Eric Kendricks about this coming up at 5
we
o'clock.
Should.
If he is an Uncrustable guy. I don't think he will be. I think this is for younger players or players that ride that glucose roller coaster and they're like sugar crashing and they just keep cramming those things in. Yeah. If your diet is dialed, I think you think the Uncrustable guys are idiots. But I'll tell you what, I keep a box in my soccer bag. You know, obviously I have to replenish it, but I'll take them to the games because when players are like sugar crashing, it's the perfect fix. It's amazing how it can make you feel strong and energized very quickly.
And never hold them back, though.
It's like a magic
elixir. Like, you don't get one because
it's better than orange.
Well.
Like oranges at soccer games back in the day.
Yeah.
Uncrustable beats it. You get protein as well.
The innovative technique, by the way.
Whoever came up with the oranges, I don't know.
Do you know how they came to create this Uncrustable, Brian? Because you'll appreciate this.
By accident, huh?
Well, they were drinking and boozing, and they were trying to find a way to, like, okay, peanut butter and jelly, how can we make a better snack?
Yeah.
They decided putting the jelly in the middle and covering it with the peanut butter turned out to be the key to protect the jelly from leaking.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, the peanut butter is the binder for the jelly. Now we can go ahead and make sure it's around.
Contain it.
It's an incredible meal. It really,
and
really
is. The jelly won't ruin the bread that way.
It's delicious.
Yes, exactly. And that was a huge thing that they were running into. That was like it was halting their ability to get this thing out there. It's because you know what happens with the jelly
how it leaks through. The jelly makes the bread wet.
Right. So they peanut butter both sides of the bread so that now the jelly is safe and sound.
It's
tucked
amazing.
In the middle there.
It's my kind of science.
And the original name of it was the Incredible Uncrustable. It was an 11-year-old boy who named it. And then once Smucker's bought it, they just made it the Uncrustables.
Did Smucker steal it, you think?
No, well, they bought it.
How much?
For like 50 grand.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, kid, we'll give you a couple packs of baseball cards.
I'm sure these people made millions of dollars off of the idea.
It says genius 11-year-old.
The Uncrustables eaten by the NFL in 1 year would cover over 18 yards of a football field.
That's incredible.
It was just like a random nugget from this.
Hail
it doesn't
the
seem like very much.
Hail the Uncrustables.
Well, think about how wide a football field is.
Oh, how wide. You went with not like... Like,
well, 18 yards of width and then the full 18-yard box. Like, the entire red zone. The entire red zone.
It's like the width of what San Francisco plays on offense.
Yeah, tight.
Like, when they play in that condensed formation.
Yeah.
And they play in the Uncrustable offense is what they do.
Amazing. I've got some Luke Kuechly audio I'll do before the top 10 at 420 that'll get you football horny.
Thank you, Wolchuk. We're live Richardson Bar and Grill here in Richardson, Campbell Road. Just a couple of G-Bag flags remain. And, of course, you do have your Flagtober pint glasses brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door as well that you can pick up while they last. Coming up next year in the G-Bag Nation, Tim Cato of All City Sports Dallas Mavs will join us and talk about tonight's NBA Mavs-Spurs opener at the AAC tip-off at 6:30, and we're back with that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Mavs season opener tonight at the AAC at 6:30. Please consider joining us. We are live at Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road here, just off the bush, a few miles. You'll find us real easily. And we did have G-Bag Nation flags. We're now out. We do have G-Bag Nation Flagtober pint glasses. Yeah, you can pick up one of those while they last, as we're about to chat with Tim Cato. All City Sports Dallas, been covering the Mavs for years, and we love having him on. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com, and Tim Cato joins us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I've been trying to figure out why it doesn't quite feel like basketball season yet, even with the first game tonight.
Come on, Tim.
But you know
don't
what?
Be that way.
As of 5 seconds ago, it
don't
feels like
that
basketball
way,
season.
Don't be that way, Timmy. We're playing
yet. I had, to come down and talk to you guys.
Playing basketball, Tim. Get ready. Here
you go. It's official, Timmy. It's basketball season.
And, Tim, I got a bold prediction. I started the show with it. Mavs wire-to-wire first place. Do you think they're focused, ready to come out hot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this team, sure, Luka didn't play in preseason. Klay was a little bit up and down. You know, Kyrie only played twice. This team's ready. They know what it's about. They just went to the finals, but it wasn't one of those finals runs where it just lingers and lingers and lingers. I think, you know, it's fair to say that this was one of the motivating ones, the ones that makes this team, and everything I've been hearing from people, from Luka when he talked a couple days ago, you know, it's this team is ready to go. And yes, it's a long ways away to get all the way back to the finals in June. But this team understands that this is its stakes. You know, this is the goal. This is what's driving them. And yeah, I think this team is ready to go, as ready as you can be to play a 7-4 alien like Victor Wembanyama tonight. But yeah, I think they're ready.
So what's the team want from Luka as far as defense? Are they asking for, like, balls to the wall, slap the floor, playoff defense, Luka, 82 games, and let's go win it? Are they asking him to coast? You know, what are their expectations for him in that department?
I mean, yeah, there's got to be a middle ground between that. We all understand Luka's importance on the offensive end, and we understand that defense is something that at many points of his career in Dallas has not been something that has come easily. But yes, just engagement, just present, just being present on the defensive end. Dallas really believes that what they did this offseason was bring in so many players to ease his burden, not to take it away. He's always going to have an offensive burden on that end. That's the type of player he is. But they brought in the type of players who can ease that burden, and who you know, basically taking away any excuse for him to say, well, look at how much I'm doing on the offensive end. Look at how much the team is relying on me. Now he's got Klay Thompson. You know, Kyrie Irving's still there. They have ball handlers. They have players like Najee Marshall, who's got a little bit of quirky off the dribble game. He can create a little bit for himself. You know, Najee Marshall is not supplanting Luka's role in the offense. Nobody's saying that. Everybody is aware of this. But just adding more help so it's not just Luka every possession, I think is big to subsequently ask him to buy in a little bit more and just be a little bit more present and engaged and aware on the defensive end. And I think if he can do that, and if Kyrie can do that, then we saw how good this defense was down the stretch and in the postseason. You know, Derek Jones was a big part of that, but an even bigger part of that was everybody else around him buying in, and those pieces are still there. And so I think that's all they're asking out of Luka.
How much of a factor do you expect Klay to be? Like, what are your Klay expectations coming into the season? I think that's been my number one question for anybody who's covering this team, to try and give the fans a better perspective on what we should be looking at here.
I can tell you what I think he's going to look like. You know, I think that he's going to be a guy who is very involved in the offense. You know, sometimes he's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to be run a pick and roll or you know, here or there. He's going to be playing two-man game with Luka. He's going to be setting screens for Luka. You know, yes, he's going to have plenty of possessions where he's just spotting up in the corner, and Klay spotting up the corner is a very dangerous thing, and defenses have to account for that. But it's not going to be stagnant. It's not going to be static. It's not just going to be, Klay, there's your, you know, little X on the court. Go stand there and, you know, run back when it's when the shot goes up and make or miss. It's going to be a lot more involvement in there. Now, if you're talking expectation in terms of points or, you know, raw output, I don't know. I haven't really thought that through. But, you know, I think it's safe to guess that he's going to be the third leading scorer of this team. And, you know, to me, the expectations, you know, where I really have questions and what I want to see is how he performs defensively. And he says he wants to prove that he's still able to be that all defense guy he was a few years ago before the injuries, or at least something close to that. That to me is the real expectations, because, you know, do I expect Klay Thompson to make threes or not? There's no expectation there. He's going to make threes. There's no concern about that.
What areas do you expect Lively to improve on the most?
Shooting, scoring. You know, he's going to average, you know, 50 points this year, and it's going to be like, you know, 65% three-point shooter. No, guys, yeah. It's all the small stuff. And he was so good as a rookie, and to think about how good he was, and he hadn't even polished or perfected so much of what he was doing. You know, he was not a good screen setter two summer leagues ago, right when the Mavericks drafted him. He got so much better in those areas. But one thing Dallas wants him to do, they want him to take a lot of those screens, and all of a sudden he's got the ball in his hands and he's doing handoffs. Handoffs are not just something that, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. You don't just stand there and throw it to the guy. It's all about timing and rhythm and being able to lead a guy or hit that backdoor cut if it becomes available. That's an area they want him to develop. They want to have him develop as a defensive player, both his awareness and his positioning. But yes, also to some extent, being able to switch out onto smaller players when the defense dictates that. And he was so good at that, you know, like for a rookie center, he was very good at that. He is not as good as Dallas thinks he can be. You know, we've seen a little, you know, here and there a few post-ups, you know, especially when he's got a smaller player on him. They're not going to throw the ball into the low post like he's Al Jefferson or Shaq or something like that. But yeah, you know, being able to turn over a shoulder and hit a little 6 or 7 foot hook shot, these are all small developments that are not as sexy as shooting, you know, 5 threes a game. But I think that's really the right path of improvement for a guy who's 20 years old. You know, if that shooting's going to be in his game, it can come. And we'll see a little bit of it. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets one up today. But emphasis is one. Gets one up today. You know, it's everywhere else that I think Lively's improvement really needs to come.
It's Tim Cato with us, All City Sports, Dallas Mavericks. We have just been informed more flags arriving at 4 o'clock, Brian.
That's nice. Great news. It's great news we have Tim Cato. I love when we get a chance to visit with you, Tim. Does this veteran team suit Jason Kidd as a coach? Would he rather coach a veteran team, or is he a guy that would like a younger team?
I think any coach who's this far into his career wants the veteran team. They want the contenders. This is quick math off the top of my head, this is eighth season as a head coach, and you know, 11th I want to say you know, as a coach overall, when you factor in his years as an assistant in Los Angeles. Yeah, he wants a veteran team, and he is a former superstar of this league. And so what he does best is relate and work with superstars. There was a Tim McMahon piece, ESPN feature that came out today that was talking about it, and there's a quote in there. I want to say it was Sean Sweeney, one of the team's lead assistant, and he said that Jason Kidd is probably one of two or three coaches who could coach both Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And you could probably include in that Klay Thompson. And I think that's true. You know, we've certainly seen it, at least for Luka and Kyrie, that they need very different things from the person who's in the leadership role atop the team, the head coach. And he's able to provide that to both of them. And that is really something that sticks out to me. So I would say absolutely it's what he's looking for is, you know, this sort of team. He wants, he's not a young coach. He's not just breaking in. He's not trying to raise the floor of a feisty team that's hoping to make a play-in seed. He's ready to coach a contender, and that's what Dallas is.
Tim Cato getting you set for Mavs Spurs tonight, the opener. The NBA is back on 105 through the Fan here in the G-Bag Nation. Quentin Grimes, I want to pick your brain on your thoughts on him, because I don't know what it is. My basketball gut, which is not always very smart, tells me that Quentin Grimes is going to be the addition that we actually get pleasantly surprised by the most this year.
You know, I think I agree with your basketball gut. This isn't a heartburn situation. I think you're actually feeling something legitimate about Quentin Grimes, who I'm also very high on. I think that he's just a good player, man, and he's been a good player. He's shown he's a good player. Yes, he's on his third team in four seasons, but I think that's much more circumstantial than anything about him specifically. And you know, even Dallas not reaching an agreement, an extension agreement with him before the season, that indicates to me that his camp feels great about what he's about to do this season with the Mavericks. And you know, if there was one big concern, it's not on the court, it's about his injury history, and he's had some issues with his knee. If he's, you know, if you're a player, if you're advising a player, if you're in the camp of a player and there really is some concern about your health, that's probably a situation where you're going to go get that extension, not where you're going to, you know, just bet on yourself and be like, you know, this is going to be the year. And so I think that's even more reason for optimism. And I think Dallas is still in a good spot that when he does ball out this year and he's a six-man candidate, you know, I'm a little bit of just imagining stuff. But, you know, let's say that does happen. I still think because he's a restricted free agent, Dallas is going to be in a good position to sign him. But, yeah, I just really like what he's going to bring off the bench. You know, the shooting, the defense, I think it's a perfect fit for what Dallas is lacking and kind of replaces some of both what adds shooting and also replaces what Derek Jones was able to do defensively in terms of being able to guard those quick guards on the perimeter.
Since June and then since Tuesday night, Tim, we got an eyeful of the Boston Celtics and how good they are, and I'm trying to think of ways that you could close that gap other than the Celtics getting hurt. and of course, we're not rooting for that, by the way. But
no.
I was wondering if like maybe Omax Prosper could break out and you know play, or if there's another player that you think could do significantly more. Obviously, you just talked about Quentin Grimes there, but how do we bridge that gap? What do you think about Omax Prosper year two?
I like Omax. I think he's going to be in Frisco. I think he's going to be very acquainted with Dallas North Tollway, or at least I hope he's using Dallas North. Nobody should have to drive 75. But I think this is a guy who has potential and has shown some potential, but I don't see it quite yet for him, not this season. I do think he'll get some chances. I think at some point this season he's going to get a week or two in the rotation. It's probably going to come because of injuries and the opportunity will arise that way. And what he does with that is kind of on him. And maybe he can show something a little bit more than what we expect. But I don't think we're going to see him in the rotation today. And, you know, as far as it comes to catching up to Boston, I think it's much more about the players at the top being as good as they are and maybe even better. Even Luka, you know, look at Luka. Luka didn't have the postseason that we expected from him. There's more to get from him. There's more to get from Kyrie, who also had a very bad final series. There's more to get from Derek Lively, who took a couple games to adjust. If there's, you know, when we're talking about contention, it's about those players rising, not somebody, you know, breaking into the rotation on the back end, I think.
Awesome stuff, Tim. Enjoy it. You know, should be a blast tonight. 6:30 tip off at the AAC, and we'll try not to bug you too much, but we'll be looking to catch up with you real soon, buddy.
Absolutely, we have to do it.
Cheers. There he goes, Tim Cato, All City Sports Dallas. You know, just an absolute must read on this, opening night for the Dallas Mavericks. And he referenced Tim McMahon. That's another one of our favorites. And exceptional article today about this basketball team. I know a lot of people are fired up about this. They're fired up about a chance to beat the 49ers on Sunday as well, Brian. What do you have cooking for us?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about San Francisco's defense and what I see there. We'll do that next.
We're having ourselves a time here at Richardson Bar and Grill. This is outstanding. Salute to everybody that's come by already. More G-Bag flags are going to be here coming up at about 4 o'clock. So if you're in the area and you want to pick up, this is the spot. Salute to the Tolo there at the bar. He beard me. Got me the Heineken 0.0, which is an outstanding NA, sir. Salute to you. Thank you. Here's Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Rodas.
Thank you very much, General. And thank you very much to Reliant for, again, being on board with us as we take this journey talking about the San Francisco 49ers defense. Let's say goodbye to Bobby Belt here. Bobby and I just did Love of the Star before the show started here, and it should be up on all the, if you're interested in that, check it out after our show today if you would. We talked about the San Francisco 49ers team in some detail there, so if you're interested in that, Love of the Star should be up and ready to go for you. 49er defense. And this is not the defense that we've seen in the past from San Francisco. They're down a couple of players from injuries. They've had to replace linebackers. They've had to replace edges. They've had to replace defensive tackles. So it's a little bit of a different defense when you start to look at them. It really does start, though, with Nick Bosa. It seems like every week the Cowboys have had to deal with somebody that is a quality rush in. And the problem with Nick Bosa, though, is that, yeah, you take care of him, but Leonard Floyd, who they got from Buffalo, has been just as good on the other side. So
well, that's concerning.
Yeah, that's the problem that you run into. The Cowboys have played some teams that have had good to outstanding edge rushers, but then their opposite side maybe not as good. Pittsburgh was compromised with their
situation. Nick Herbig going down.
Yeah, exactly. They were very compromised into that game. So, but you're going to get a pretty good dose of two quality edge rushers. The 49ers are really, really big when it comes to getting off the football. Bosa, when you look at the metrics with him, you watch the tape, you see the metrics numbers, first in the league in get off when it comes to how fast. And then Leonard Floyd is seventh fastest in the league. So you're dealing with two edge rushers that can really, really get off the ball and then cause you problems. The thing with Bosa is that he's shown just as much pass rush ability. He usually plays as their left defensive end. He's got more production off the right side.
Watch out, Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, Tyler Guyton in this football game. So every week we say, got to help, got to do this, got to do that. Then the Cowboys' game plan is 81% of the time their tackles are one-on-one with these edge rushers. So we'll see if maybe in the bye week that they think about, hey, we've got to figure. I do believe that Tyler Smith played against the Lions at left tackle because they wanted just to worry about one side of the offense. Well, it sounds like, though, that Guyton will be back in the mix this week. So keep an eye on that. Fred Warner is an outstanding linebacker. He's one of these guys that he's just as good playing the pass as he is playing the run. And when they put him in coverage, he's very good at denying that receiver the ball. He's got 8 interceptions in the last several years as a player. He's a guy that the Cowboys have had a hard time in the past blocking him, both run and then dealing with him in the past as well. If you want to take advantage of a linebacker here in this defense, it would be Campbell, number 59. He's not
Devondre.
Is he the replacement for Dre Greenlaw?
Yeah. He has been the replacement.
He was in Green Bay?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, he was in Green Bay. Him and then D. Winters also get some work. He was a 6th-round pick.
He was a defensive end, wasn't he?
Yeah, at one time he sure was. So Campbell's a guy that, like I said, you could take advantage of him in some pass coverage stuff, if you could get him matched up. But they really, that one time, they really did a great job with their linebackers. I think they're a little bit compromised with Campbell playing that position right now. In the secondary, they've struggled defending targets as the Cowboys have in the middle of the field. Their defense has allowed the sixth most yards per attempt in the middle of the field. This could be a little bit because of the safety play. Jair Brown has not been as good in coverage, and they're playing a rookie in Malik Mustafa. Mustafa will try and blow you up. That's his game.
Big hitter, not a great runner.
Yeah, he will come downhill in a hurry. He'll tackle, and they'll use him playing down in the box a little bit to try and help with the run. But the 49ers have struggled. Now, the problem for the Cowboys is that the Cowboys, Dak Prescott's got the fourth lowest percentage of throwing the ball in the middle third of the field.
Let me ask you this, though, because the seam ball is maybe his best throw.
Right.
You think Fergie and him can hit on some of the seams here?
It's going to be if the problem you're going to run into with that is how they're going to play coverage on that. Is Fred Warner going to be matched up with Ferguson? Or are they going to try and play one of the safeties? If they put Jair Brown on Ferguson, go for it. He definitely, I could see them also treating Ferguson with Yidam, the nickel, as a guy. They probably don't respect your nickel players as much, your sub-package players, so maybe they will treat Ferguson. But the Cowboys have struggled. That when you talk about the in-breaking routes, the crossing routes, things like that, they're only averaging 6.6 yards an attempt.
Okay.
And here the 49ers are giving up almost a first down every time you throw the ball in the middle of the field against them. Maybe the Cowboys can take advantage of that. They've also, the 49ers have struggled with play action. And yeah, you think, okay, play action passes, that seems pretty simple for your Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys really haven't been much better at throwing the play action pass. They're mid-pack when it comes to their play action game. Here the 49ers are near the bottom because they're so aggressive with their linebackers that they step up and then you get routes behind that. That's why they've had problems in the middle of the field. So it's the things you feel like the 49ers might be struggling in, Dallas really hasn't taken advantage of things offensively. You know,
the farther they get away from running and play action, I don't think it's for the better, Brian.
I agree with you. The 49ers have really struggled in the red zone on defense. Teams have run the ball on them in the red zone. They're 30th in the league in red zone. You can watch it. You can see teams moving the football on them. And they get down there and they have some success. Here you go. Maybe an opportunity for some red zone rushes. Dallas is 31st in the league in red zone attempts. 0.8 yards per rush in the red zone. Less than 1 yard a carry.
Gosh,
down there.
That is brutal.
I'm trying to explain to you there's things that the 49ers really struggle in defensively. You just aren't good enough in those areas to really take advantage of them. That's the thing going into this game. You know, I mean, the 49ers will give you some plays. They rush four guys. That's their deal. They're not a big blitzing team. If you can handle these edges, you get an opportunity, with a four-man rush. 5-on-4, maybe 6-on-4 with a running back blocker. Those are how you're going to have to be able to do things. But you really don't run the ball well enough. You don't attack the middle of the field well enough, except for the seam routes that we've talked about with the tight end.
And with better lines, the Niners have proven their defensive line is more than enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Dallas can come out of anything during the bye week, please help the red zone offense. Please figure out how to help the red zone offense. Actually, your quarterback's struggling throwing the ball down there. Nobody's making receptions down there. You're not really separating from anybody down there. And then here you are, you can't even run the ball when you get inside the red zone. And these are all things at play that really the 49ers completely struggle with. You can see it on tape. And can Dallas take advantage of that? That's going to be the big question.
Here's a stupid question, Brian. But does Dak need to just say, well, I'm going to utilize my legs and try and make something that the defense now has to at least respect in the red zone?
I watched Kyler Murray, and I'm not saying that Dak Prescott's Kyler Murray, but when Kyler Murray pulled the ball and took off running, that was a nightmare for the 49ers.
Yeah. Okay.
That was when, like, the first play of the game, it is a inside, it's like Kyler Murray read option, and it's going to be a minus three. He pulls it, and then it's like an 18-yard run. You know, Dak has got to be willing to run this football if he can.
He's already proven that he's not.
But that's the problem.
He can do it. He just doesn't want to do it, right?
That's the problem.
I mean, those are the two things that irritate me with Dak. One, can you tell me any time watching Dak Prescott play football where he's thrown a football away, where he has said, I'm going to throw it into the stands, and I'm killing this down, and I'm going to live to play another down? No, he will take an 8-yard sack.
Yep.
The other thing is just an unwillingness to try and steal a first down with your legs.
If he didn't do it versus Detroit, which he didn't, I mean, that's the most man-heavy team. That gives you the most opportunities to do it. Baker Mayfield scrambled for 40-plus yards against them. Geno Smith scrambled for 30 or 40 yards against them. And Dak, I believe, had maybe 1 yard running against them.
He
just has no interest in doing it, doesn't trust it. The coaches are telling him not to do it, whatever it is.
Well, they
can't. It's a shame.
They can't tell him not to do it. They're paying him too much money. There's too much. You are going to go as far as that goes. The identity question, your identity is number four. That's the identity of this football team. Dak plays well, you'll win. Dak plays poorly, you'll lose. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Well, it's just unfortunate in this matchup that defensively you don't have your guys to play against this 49er offense. I think that would be a really good matchup. But the things that they're really bad at defensively, you're struggling just as bad. And that's where if you felt better about your offensive situation, and maybe they'll come out of it after the bye.
Yeah.
I think that's – I keep saying this. Give me better red zone offense.
Well, you know what I'm hearing, Brian, is there's a chance. If you can execute some plays, if you can get a hat on a hat and block this thing up, maybe the Cowboys could score some points. Let's see what Matt Barrows from The Athletic thinks. He covers the 49ers there in San Francisco, and he'll be with us when we get back live. Richardson Bar and Grill. Get your G-Mag Nation flag. Reinforcements of those are showing up in just a couple of minutes. And we have the Flagtober Pint Glass brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door. You can take home as well right here in Richardson on The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.